You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I thought guys were going to lead with the Yankees, and Aaron Boone addressed the media, and Brian Cashman addressed the media. And then about 15 minutes ago, Chris, we find out that the Atlanta Falcons shutting down their facility. Their game is now in question this week against the Minnesota Vikings. So all hell continues to break loose around COVID and the NFL. But before we get there, let's say good morning. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rico. I'm doing well. How are you guys this morning?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day outside. I don't give the weather anymore, but it's a beautiful day outside, and I'm excited for the day.
Well, if you didn't ask so many freaking questions before and observations, you could give the weather.
Please. Ridiculous. Please. Really. I mean, you're embarrassing yourself. Santiago says, as we're talking to Graziano yesterday, make sure you're out by 41, okay? Please make sure you're out by 41. 41 hits. Canty asked his last question. We're right on time. Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hang on a second, you say. I have another question.
Yeah, but by the way, how relevant is that question now that I asked it with what happened with Atlanta today?
No one has ever doubted the validity or relevance of the questions you ask. It was more of a timing issue. We didn't really have the time, and you just said, I'm going to continue along. So don't blame me for your missteps.
Ends up being perfect timing, though, doesn't it? Ask Dan the question. Dan answers it, which, again, the answer makes no sense. The NFL is so full of it, and then you have Atlanta have the outbreak today, and it looks like their game's going to have to be rescheduled this weekend.
Probably so. Probably so. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, look, Florida football, University of Florida, they shut down days after they say they pack any stadium in the state of Florida. And now the Atlanta Falcons are going to have to shut down. We don't even know if it's players or coaches or staff or personnel or who it is, but we know that they're not going to be able to have that facility open for days now. And like you said, they're probably not going to be able to play this game on Sunday.
Well, to say that they're probably going to shut the facility down doesn't it mean that it has to be open first.
That's a good point. I mean, you make an excellent
Falcons
point.
Don't look like they don't look like they're doing much work at their facility based on their on-the-field record. Just saying.
They've been virtual the entire time.
You ain't got to practice to do what the Falcons been doing.
We haven't been really. Our body's been at the facility, but
I'm sorry I got to be that guy, but God, maybe they could benefit from it. We see what happened to the Tennessee Titans when they only got two practice days. Maybe the Falcons need more of that.
Played an amazing game on Monday.
I'm just telling you. I don't know. Right. But no, listen, man, in all seriousness, we knew that the NFL was going to struggle to kind of keep a lid on this thing without having a bubble. Like we said, okay, either you're going to go full bubble like the NBA did or try to do a modified bubble similar to what teams do during training camp. And if you didn't take that route, then it was going to be hard to insulate the players, the staff members, all NFL personnel from the effects of COVID. I mean, we're living in a COVID world right now. We're at the mercy of the virus. And unless you have drastic measures to try to protect everybody, keep everybody safe, and limit the transmission of the virus, then you're probably going to be dealing with these situations and having to, you know, postpone or reschedule games. And God forbid, you know, if this continues to trend in the direction that we've seen the last couple of weeks, you're probably going to have to cancel games. So this is so frustrating. Everybody says that a modified bubble is so unrealistic, and I can't understand where they're coming from, because you've seen teams throughout the course of training camp, which spans about a month and a half, where teams have players put in hotels that are nearby their practice facilities, and the players go from the facilities to the hotels and back. I don't understand why that's not feasible for this scenario. Everybody understands sacrifices have to be made based on what we're dealing with. Even if that means you have to be cooped up in a hotel for a couple of months, I think it's worth it if that means the difference between you getting checks and not getting checks. And also keeping in mind what's at stake this coming season with the media rights deals being negotiated between the owners and the television companies. Just saying, that's the backdrop to everything that's going on during this NFL season. So I just feel like the two sides, the NFL and the players, they need to huddle up, they need to get together and truly think about trying to take the modified bubble approach.
Yeah, this has been worse than baseball. I mean, when baseball initially went with the Marlins, I mean, the Marlins ended up having the outbreak, and then you had the Cardinals. But, I mean, outside of those two teams, right. I mean, the Major League Baseball did a really good job, and they end up bubbling up for the playoffs. But, I mean, this continues to happen. I mean, at the college level, and it's happening at the NFL level.
But isn't that what our fear was? I mean, if you said what sport is going to have trouble, it would make sense that it's the NFL. They have the most people involved.
But it's different,
but it doesn't
though,
feel like the trouble is the transmission of the virus between the two teams when they're playing the games on Sunday. Like, that's the part that we kind of misread a little bit. I was the first one to say there's so much contact on game day. You're in proximity to these guys. I know a game clock is technically only 60 minutes, but you're hitting these guys for 3 hours. And so if you have somebody that's infected, chances are they're going to transmit the virus to somebody else that they're playing against. But that hasn't been what's going on. It feels like it's what's happening in the outside world
100%.
That's infiltrating the facility in the locker rooms. And so to me, if it's not something that's taking place on the field in terms of the transmission of the virus, then you got to try to protect your players from what's happening in the outside world.
And depending on the report you read, I mean, it could just be the virus. It could be the fact that the virus is, you know, has mutated where it's more transferable now. Because I was reading a study this morning. Yep. I mean, they published a study. I think they said 70% of the people that have tested positive for COVID have actually have done their due diligence with the mask and everything else, and it hasn't apparently helped as much as they thought it was going to help. So maybe this is just, I mean, you got kids going to school, you got, you know, family members in your house and everything else. That's why the whole idea of having everyone at a hotel, everyone in each team at a hotel, that has to be safer than what's going on now. Has to be.
Well, of course.
I don't know how
is.
You can argue differently.
Well, because listen, think about this right now, right? Like for me, for you, Rick. I mean, right now I'm at home, and then my kids are going to school, and then they come home and they're interacting with other kids, and then they come home, and then, you know, we go out and we're out and about doing a lot of stuff. But I mean, we go for walks, like we do stuff. So yeah, if you're locked away in a hotel and it's hotel practice game, rinse and repeat, hotel practice game, you like your chances. But my understanding is the players and the union will have no part of that.
And maybe that's the issue, is they're not going to get the support of the union. But at some point, I mean, if I'm one of these players and I start missing game checks, like, we need to, like, I'll suck it up. If I have to suck it up and stay in a hotel to make sure we get through this season and I get paid, then that's something you're going to have to do. I mean, I watched The Bachelorette last night. I mean, that's, The Bachelorette
She's
is
crazy,
so important.
Huh?
No, I mean, that whole thing is a mess. Dale's definitely playing her, too. She falls in love with Dale. He's clearly playing her. He's a model and everything else. Stop. You can't be that young and that good looking, and you got to go and you're trying to marry a 39-year-old bachelor. Stop, please. No, ridiculous. But, I mean, The Bachelorette's so important to ABC that they rented out an entire hotel, have all these guys fly in, quarantine them, and test them every single day so they can have the show go. I mean, the NFL is more important, I'm sorry, than The Bachelorette. Like, you got to, I mean, for the amount of money that we're talking about here, like, at a certain point, you can't with a straight face tell me that having all the players and staff at a hotel and knowing exactly who goes in and out of the hotel, everyone being tested, is less safe than having guys just go their own respective ways after practice.
Yeah, that's definitely not the way to go. Like, that you cannot argue that that's safer, because you know that there are going to be some guys that don't think it's real, or even if they get COVID, they're not worried about how it's going to affect them in the short term or the long term. I mean, listen, we got people like that in our society that think that we don't have people like that think in the National Football League. You're kidding yourself.
Like, oh, especially especially as these teams start to, I mean, the Falcons, I mean, especially as these teams continue to lose games, you don't think now all of a sudden, our season's over, we ain't making the playoffs. That you started, guys on these teams don't ease up a little bit?
I'm sure they do.
How closely they fall on the protocol?
Oh, yeah, like the Jets and the Falcons, of 100%. Of course they do. Of course they do. Their attention is elsewhere. It's not focused on doing the right things and following all of the protocols to a T. It's about showing up, punching the clock, getting a check. And whatever happens is what happens. They don't care about it. But the NFL can't afford to have people like that to have that attitude. You can't afford to leave them up to their devices. Which is why I feel like you got to isolate the players, man. You do. I mean, I understand the PA is going to push back on it, but this is one of those things where, you know, the players have got to take the long-term approach and the long-term view of this thing. You can't afford to have games canceled. You can't afford to take away leverage from the owners when they're negotiating the television rights for the next 10 years. Like, you just can't do that. I don't understand. I get it. You're talking about a lot of time being spent away from your family, but you're also talking about making a whole lot of money in a time where there's economic uncertainty for every single American. So, I mean, you know, when you're in that position of privilege, I just think there are certain sacrifices that you have to make. And if you're a player, this is probably going to have to be one of them. You think LeBron James wanted to be cooped up in the NBA bubble for 3 months?
No, of course
no.
not.
No, of course
sure
he didn't. But he recognized
to.
That's what he had to do for the benefit of the game, not only this year, but for years to come. I don't understand why the NFL players can't take that same approach, why they don't have that same mentality. And I get it. You're talking about four times as many players in the NFL than you have in the NBA. I get it. But it's not like the National Football League doesn't have the resources to be able to accommodate him. Because, again, pretty much every team puts their players in a dorm room or a hotel during training camp. So it's not like we haven't seen it. It's not like they don't know how to do it. So
yeah, but on
I
top of that,
Timmy,
to your, Chris, to your point, though, I mean, that's why it makes no sense to me to listen to Dr. Still say it's not safer. I mean, you talk about what would you have to isolate on each team? Over 100 staff and players?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's about that ballpark, yeah.
Okay, so those same 100 or whatever it ends up being, staff and players, are going back and forth to the facility and going home. So you take those 100 and then multiply it by how many people are in those people's houses that you're now bringing into the equation. Because those, not everyone's staying. You think that all these families are staying home and everything? No.
No.
Absolutely
no.
not.
No way.
So stop it. So it's got to be safer to be in a hotel.
I mean, don't you have friends now? Like, you have friends that are taking it seriously and are locked away and won't do anything. And then I'm sure we all have friends that are like, you know what? I believe it's true, but, you know, I'm past that. I'm going to go out and kind of live my life.
They got COVID fatigue, Dave. They want to go out to dinner. They want to be around, you know, they want to socialize. Like, people are tired of being cooped up in their houses, and I get it. But that still doesn't, you know, your COVID fatigue doesn't protect you from the effects of the virus.
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. But I'm just saying, we all know people who are saying, you know what, I have to start to do some stuff. So if we have that, then I'm sure players in the NFL have that, and some of them are doing that as well.
I'm sure there's players, not just their families and friends. I'm sure there's players that are just sick of it. And on top of that, I got people that, you know, seem like they're actively trying to hunt down COVID and get it the way that they act. But, I mean, mate, I think it's starting to be proven now, too, that even if you're taking the precautions when you're going about your regular day, if you have to go to work or whatever it is, that you're still, I mean, there still is a good chance that you're going to be around someone that has it. And even if you're, you know, got the mask on and everything else, you could still get it. And that's how contagious this thing is right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, Nick Saban has it.
And apparently Nick Saban has said that he's been as diligent as humanly possible with the mask and social distancing. And it seems like just the more you're in, you know, inside around, you know, other people with a person that could be asymptomatic and carrying it, I mean, you have a pretty good chance of getting it. The outdoor transmission playing football doesn't seem like it's as big a deal as we thought. But just with the amount of time these guys spend in proximity to each other inside is turns out it's a problem. It's clearly a problem. And I don't know. I mean, there's no perfect way to fix it. You're going to have to, I mean, I think week 18 is probably on the table to try to make up some of these games.
Right.
Or if you add a bye week, you know, I mean, the last bye week is week 13. Maybe if you add another bye week and try to fit some games that you need to make up during that bye week and the other teams get off. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a team that has the bye having that many weeks off before their first game. If you do add the week 18, yeah, maybe you try to do something like that, but I don't know if you can keep going down this road.
Yeah, keep adjusting the schedule. And, okay, now you're not going to play this week, so we'll adjust this team to play you this week, and then we'll switch it around like this. It's just it's a lot. It's daunting. And to think that we're going to get this schedule in 17 weeks is just I think it's very unrealistic at this point. Now, truth be told, if the Falcons and Vikings never play this game, is it that big a deal? It might not matter. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get to games that, if they don't happen, will matter, and then that's going to be a big deal in the NFL.
Yeah, but financially it matters, though, too. I mean, what was it? What was the number we had? $24 million a game?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what it ends up being? So, I mean, wouldn't you rather spend the money or do a deal? Or even if you barter a deal. I mean, all these teams are capable of bartering deals. With whatever hotel you have, you barter a deal. Listen, you know, we're going to stay here. We're going to have the whole hotel. And then for the next, you know, X amount of years, you'll have free advertising with the team.
Of course.
Yeah, the official hotel of the Atlanta Falcons.
Exactly right.
Or you get a big banner at the stadium. Or, I mean, it's easy to figure that stuff out.
And we saw it. I mean, we've seen it work. The NBA and NHL did it perfectly. And it didn't have to be one big bubble. Teams are capable of, with everything they have at their beckoning call, with how much money each team has, they could make something like that work. They could.
I just go back to the training camp setup, Rick. I mean, every team has that. I mean, didn't we see what happened with the Seattle Seahawks? They had a player that tried to sneak a girl into his room because she was dressed like a staffer. but that's what I'm saying. But that's how. But they had it set up. Like, there's no way that you catch that person doing that unless you have the security, unless you have players under, you know, restriction and under watch, and they can do that. That's the way of the world when it comes to training camps. So I don't understand why you couldn't apply that to the remainder of the regular season. I mean, you're almost a third through the regular season, right? Is it too much to ask the players for the next 12 weeks, this is what our game plan is going to be?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Right? So you're looking at 3 months. And no one is denying it stinks. It stinks. But there's a lot going on that stinks in this world right now. And you have a job, and you'll be getting paid, and you get paid pretty well. So,
and here's the thing, Dave. If you actually have a bye week, okay, we'll let you go about your business on your bye week. You'll have an entire week off. You come back, you get COVID tested, and boom, you're back into the modified bubble. I don't understand how that can't be a realistic scenario for the NFL.
Yeah, look, the NBA did it. It was great. The NHL did it. It was great. Major League Baseball has done it in the postseason. It is working seamlessly. It just feels like we are there.
Yeah, but here's the one thing, though, to take into account, and this may be part of why they haven't done it yet, is that NHL and NBA, players don't get paid for the playoffs. So the owners aren't – I mean, there's no fans. The owners aren't paying players.
Like, players don't really get paid in the NFL in the playoffs either, though.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. They get paid game checks. So if there's no, I mean, if maybe the owners are willing to miss games with no fans because it costs them more to pay the players in those games because they're not making as much money with no fans. And the NFL is king anyway, so they don't feel like it's going to affect their negotiation with all these different, you know, different entities that want the games anyway. Maybe that's part of it. Like, if we miss a week, at least I don't have to pay my players.
Right.
I'm not making any money from, you know, attendance.
Yeah. Listen, if the Falcons don't play this week, you think Arthur Blank is heartbroken?
Probably not.
I mean, they're 0-5.
Season, they're 0-5, and if Roger Goodell's telling them, hey, listen, if we miss some games, we got the election. I mean, there's it's the pandemic. I mean,
there's plenty of things you could actually blame it on, and you could try to, you know, explain those away at the bargaining table. But my whole thing is this: if it didn't affect the bottom line, then why is everybody talking about how the salary cap is going to drop precipitously in 2021? Talking about the cap being $30 to $40 million less than it is right now. So clearly not playing games would affect it. Clearly not having
fans. Well, I think it's not an excuse too, to pay less money. I mean, that's also working in the owner's favor. Well, I can't spend the money. I mean, that's the beauty of a cap. We want to spend it. We just can't do it. I mean, there's a salary cap. I'd love to spend all the money in the world. I just can't do it. Cap's 175. Come on. You've been in those rooms.
No, I'm with you. I hear you. I hear where you're coming from.
I feel like it's in the benefit
of everybody if you can try to play as many of these games as you possibly can.
Of course
just to show the true value of what you're bringing to the table under the circumstances. Because people are starved for live content right now. I mean, there's only so much, you know, CNN, Fox News you can watch leading up to the election.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's
this
20
is the time
days
we'd actually
now.
Have like NBA people, and NHL, and we don't have that.
But that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, people are looking for, you know, some live entertainment, something to be that welcome distraction, and the NFL is king when it comes to sports. So I just feel like the more games you can play, the more value you can show that you actually have to these media entities. That's all I'm saying. Not to say that they don't already recognize the value, but you were talking about the national television rights deals doubling before we got into this pandemic situation. That's why the players and the owners were in such a hurry to get this CBA knocked out so the owners could go to the television companies and sell labor peace for the next decade. They were talking about it going from $8 billion nationally to $16 billion. All I'm saying is if you play as many games as you possibly can, that only puts you in a position of strength. That's it. That was my only point.
No, listen, I think in a perfect world, you're probably right. But I don't even know how much negotiating the NFL has to do with all the different platforms that want their product. Seriously, I mean, the NFL really is.
That's a big jump you're trying to make, though, Ricky. You're trying to double your national television rights deal.
But how many times have we seen it? We spent how long talking about how stupid the Wilpons were for turning down the $2.6 billion? Then you hit the pandemic hit. And like, oh, they're not good. Yeah, how many experts said, oh, they're going to lose at least $600 million? They end up going for $2.4 billion still.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, when it's as attractive as the NFL is,
there's a lot of outlets now. There's Twitter, there's Facebook, there's a lot of different outlets that are going to want to be involved with the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the NFL package too. I mean, it's coming up on DirecTV too.
Well, they didn't Amazon trying to get in on it as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, ESPN wants
the
Super Bowl
in some way.
Yeah, I mean that's just because the only reason why what we've suggested with the modified bubble isn't being done right now is because clearly we're overvaluing how important it is to the owners to be playing these games. That's the only reason. It could be the only reason. Because you've already seen it work. It worked with the NBA. Yep. And it worked with the NHL.
Beautifully. NHL was perfection.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just this continues to happen. At some point, you can only reschedule so many games.
Right. And it feels like we're at that teetering
I guess that was my point. Like, if you were trying to protect the integrity of the season and make sure that as many of these teams played all 16 as you possibly could, then why wouldn't you go to a modified bubble? Like, there's really no good reason why you wouldn't do it.
Except that the players in the union don't want it. But you're right.
And that's fine, Dave, but just come out and say that. Don't throw out, well, it's a logistics nightmare and it's not possible.
Or it's as safe to do what we're doing it as it is
to lock
down.
The buzz phrase is, I don't think it's realistic. No, stop that. It's realistic. It's doable. Because you already do it in the preseason. It's doable. We all know that. So if you're saying we just don't want to do it from a quality of life standpoint, the players don't want to do it, and the owners don't want to invest the resources, okay, fine. We'll drop the whole subject. But don't say it's unrealistic. Don't say from a logistics standpoint we just can't do it, because that's not true.
It's just not
don't
true.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah, well, they do that often in the NFL. Let's get to some of the calls.
But Dave, you know what, too? Of all the sports, I mean, NHL, NBA, I mean, NHL, you're at the rink for a couple hours. You go, you'll practice, you'll watch the video, and then you're back to your hotel. NBA, same thing. The NFL, you're at the facility the whole day anyway.
The whole day.
I mean, you really go back to the hotel, Ricky, just to sleep. That's it.
Ricky, from 7 to 4:35 o'clock, you're there.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, that day, even when you're going back and forth to home, you're barely home.
No.
I mean, you're home, you see your wife and kids. I mean, put your kids to bed, then you're back at the facility early in the next morning.
Yep. And you can do it in training camp, so it's a little more. I mean, and again, no one
so
is denying
it's got to be financial.
Stinks.
Then, Dave, it's got to be financial then. This has got to be something that the owners don't want to pony up.
You think
up
it's
for.
Financial, or you think it's just they just don't want to?
Well, the only reason why they wouldn't want to is because it doesn't make sense financially for them to do it. Because I guess maybe it's cheaper for them to miss a game. Like, they're already past the whole integrity of the game thing. Like, that's okay, we can live with if we got to go winning percentage. So if we have to miss a game and I don't have to pay my players a game check, that makes more sense than me doling all this money for a bubble. Because why else wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, but if you're a player, why would you even jeopardize that? Why would you even bring in the question whether or not you're going to get all of your game checks? Like, that's the part that I don't understand. Like, if you're on the player side, hey, man, let's go to this bubble. I need to get all my checks.
That's where the union needs to all of a sudden, like, DeMora Smith needs to be out in front of this and start preaching we need a bubble.
Yeah, but
baseball
even
did the same thing.
But Ricky D. Smith works for the players, and if the players say they don't want it, and the executive committee meets and the board of player reps meets, and they say they don't want it, there's only so much that D can do.
The baseball's sneaky like that too. Baseball waited till the playoffs too, when they ain't paying the players.
When the game exactly when the owners are raking in that pile of cash and they don't have to split it.
They're all sneaky. All these owners always win. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Josh in State College. Josh, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, Josh.
So the thing that I don't understand is there's no other events going on. So all these stadiums are available. The NFL has Tampa booked for the entire month of February to move to the Super Bowl. Why don't we just stop for 2 weeks, lock everyone down so we clear whatever's in the systems out, and during that 2 weeks, the PA sits down and the league says, look, this clearly isn't working. If you don't want to lose game checks, we got 2 weeks to figure out some sort of modified bubble and put it on the players. If they're going to hold fast and say, no, we're not doing this, then the NFL says, fine, we're saving money by not paying you and not playing games.
Well, because the fear is that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, why am I going to shut down, though?
You're not going to shut down because it's not going to matter. You clear the system. It's not. I mean, you're clearing what? I mean, guys, this is the fear is this is going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
So get as many games as you can in before maybe you do have to shut it down, because it just gets to the point where, I mean, maybe the state's shutting you down.
Right, you might legitimately have to shut down in a month or 6 weeks. If I can get the Giants-Washington game in this weekend, why in the world would I shut down for 2 weeks when almost every game can and should be played this weekend? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it makes no sense. I mean, you've seen the same thing in college football, too. I mean, how many people has Nick Saban been around? Like, the fact that they're even considering playing the game this weekend.
I think they're going to play that game.
Well, exactly right, but how does that make any sense?
Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Well, how does it make sense they were going to have 90,000 people at the game for Florida, and they can't even play the game because all the
Florida
Gators have COVID?
That's that, because that's Florida. That's a different country.
Oh,
they should. I mean, that's
infuriating.
It's amazing, man.
We got to pack the swamp.
You know, I got family that live in Florida.
Oh, I know you do.
I mean, it's so
pack the swamp.
They're trying to get. They're putting their head down. They're going to try to get as many of these games in as they can before, you know, other
before
certain,
they're
like,
forced. Before their hand.
Or it even could be. Yeah, but exactly right. But it could. It may be the state shut them down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if these
mm-hmm.
things start to spike up again, you'll start getting the state will just shut it down. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm getting all these stories.
We don't know. That's
else.
The truth. That's the truth. Clay and Brooklyn.
I'm trying to deal
Clay.
With my.
Go ahead.
No, I'm trying to. I'm sitting here every day trying to figure out this high school schedule, too. And I'm getting emails like, I got one referee in Maine that apparently had COVID, so he exposed like 400 different people to COVID.
Oh,
like,
now, when is that season supposed to start?
Dude, it's like the Wild West, man.
But supposed to. When is it supposed to start?
The beginning of November it's supposed to start.
So, I mean, we're talking about 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And what? Where are we with that? Is it going to start?
Well, no. I mean, New Jersey just opened it up that you can compete in New Jersey. So hockey, indoor high-risk sports can compete. But the problem with us is now, like, so if you were to, like, for our school, if our travel guys were to go play in a different state, they can't come back to school until they quarantine for 14 days.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
So then, in actuality, how realistically is that season going to happen?
We don't know. We won't know until Governor Cuomo comes out with his edict on what they're going to do for high risk.
So you're just in a holding pattern
sports.
Now?
Yeah, because right now we can't compete. Like New York, the Junior Islanders just shut down for 2 weeks just because all these different teams were traveling. And then as they traveled, they come back and one or two of the kids would end up with COVID. So they'd have to shut down anyway. So they're trying to, you know, shut down for 2 weeks, and hopefully that decreases the spread and everything else. But it just keeps – it's every single week something pops up.
And the season goes from what? Early November till when?
Early November to – I don't know. I mean, when did we finish last year? We shut down for Christmas. February, I think.
All right. So could
I got
they?
Ice. But I got ice booked till June. No, seriously. So in case I have to push it. Like, because we're still talking, like, our league games are out of state. Like, how are we getting the kids? Like, do we have to take multiple buses? Like, how are we getting the kids to these games? Like, is it fair if the kids come back to expose the rest of school to, you know, to our guys that have been traveling and everything else? It's logistically a nightmare.
It's an absolute nightmare.
Because a lot of these kids don't have any symptoms, man. So they don't even know. They're just walking around. They have no idea. And if you have no symptoms, why are you getting tested? You wouldn't get tested. I mean, it's incredible, man. It's one
crazy.
Thing after another.
It's crazy.
Oh, but it's crazy. But that's what freaks me out, though. These guys, college football players get tested every single day. How many mm-hmm. times do we hear, oh, the safest place for these guys to be is in the facility? Well, that's obviously
apparently
not.
Apparently not.
So if you can't keep it out of there, how?
But I will
how
say
do you
this.
It feels like regular sports.
It feels like the NFL is taking COVID a lot more seriously than college football is.
I agree.
College football feels like it's the Wild Wild West.
Well,
like,
because it is.
Whatever
exactly
happens.
What they
and
are.
If there's a significant outbreak, then we'll deal with it when it happens. But how in the world do you have a situation where you have 18 players on your team test positive? 18? You can't be following the protocols and social distancing and having guys properly spread out in the locker room if you've got 18 guys that test positive.
And how many teams have we seen not be able to play in college football? Right?
Yeah.
Because it's run rampant throughout the facility or throughout the team. I mean, Notre Dame and Florida, and I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
I don't think they're worried about it. I mean, you heard Ed Orgeron. Oh, I think all our guys have had
all
it.
All our guys are behind it.
Yeah, so we can't get it again. Oh, great. Thanks. That's perfect, yeah. Ed.
Right. By the way, woman,
that's
I think
the right
in
attitude,
Europe,
Ed.
Woman in Europe contracted it a second time and just passed away. I don't know if you saw that.
Dude, I was going to do a story yesterday on observations. Apparently, one of the new side effects of COVID is this guy lost hearing in one of his ears.
Jesus.
And Fred Dean passed away.
Dude, but that's what freaks me out the most, man, is No one has given a definitive answer of like long-term ramifications.
Because they don't know.
But that's what freaks me out. Like all of a sudden you get willy-nilly and you catch it. You got no symptoms. You're fine. And then, you know, 5 years down the road, you got all sorts of problems with your lungs or something. I don't want to deal with that.
Of course you don't want to. Nobody wants to.
Got enough problems.
Completely off topic. Chris, I was watching this. Did you see this new football league? It's like the American 7 football league where they play
with
no pads.
Yeah, where they don't have any pads on, but it's like full contact.
Oh, my. And it's full contact.
Yeah, it's full contact, no pads. Yeah, I saw that.
That's crazy.
I don't know what you want me to say, Dave. I'm not signing up for it.
That is,
but Dave, how many guys get together like the morning of Thanksgiving and have the turkey bowl?
Tons, like, but do they have full contact?
Especially if it's muddy out. Of course. We ain't soft like you.
What do you mean, do they have full contact?
Like this?
What are you talking about?
You playing patty cake?
Chop blocks in this.
I think chop blocking is still illegal, Dave. It's the same as rugby. I mean, have you seen the size of the rugby guys? They're humongous.
Crazy.
Wasn't Jordan Mayata a rugby guy from Australia, and he just came over to play left tackle for the Eagles?
Yeah.
That guy is, what, 6'8", 340 pounds?
Dude, these guys are just, I mean, fast and thick, full speed, just lowering shoulders.
No fear.
No fear. Crazy. But you got to take, I guess the thinking is you got to take your head out of it, though, right? You got no helmet on. I ain't sticking my head in there.
I don't know. You should see the video of these highlights,
Rico. Got to leave with your head.
That's a good point.
Crazy.
Words to live by. I got a t-shirt like that.
Great. Jordan Renan will join us right at 10 o'clock. A very important game for the Giants on Sunday. Cannot afford to drop to 0-6 and lose at home to a putrid Washington football team. Chris, you agree with that?
Yeah, you can't lose to the Washington football team, Dave. You just can't. Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, doesn't matter. You can't lose to the Washington football team. They're awful.
Dreadful.
They're awful.
A putrid team.
Yeah. I still don't understand how they beat the Eagles in week one. How did that happen?
And they trailed 17-0.
That's what I'm saying. How did that happen? I'm going back to that. Like, as bad as they are,
well, The Eagles are not exactly, you know, murderer's row on the gridiron, right?
No, they're not. But still, like, to be that bad where you got a double-digit lead and you still lose to Washington?
Bad.
I don't know. Yeah, if the Giants lose this one, I don't know what to say, Dave.
Yeah, if the Giants lose this one,
I mean, I already got rid of all the optimism I had for the Giants. I told you that. I'm off the bandwagon. I'm off the train. Like, I was like, oh, this is a different team. They're more competitive. Yada yada yada. You're still winless through the first 5 weeks.
This stink.
At some point, you got to have something to show for all of this culture change and this new administration, this new regime under Joe Judge. You got to have something to show for it.
It's bad. Jordan Renan will join us right at 10 o'clock. Clay in Brooklyn. Clay, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. I wanted to talk about the possibility of canceling NFL games. I keep hearing people talking about the playoff implications, but there's a couple of other implications I don't hear anybody talking about that I think are just as big. One is that, and Chris, you'll be able to explain this better, the likely to be earned and not likely to be earned aspects of players' contracts. Mm-hmm. That are going to be seriously impacted if they don't play all 16 games, and the draft, because the draft, like, let's say the Giants wind up 1-12 and they only get 13 games in, and the Jets wind up 0-14. So
what would you think, Clay? If the Giants wind up 1-12 and the Jets wind up 0-14, who would you think would get the top selection?
What I'm just saying is that it's not fair.
I'm not sure that was the best example.
Okay, fine. My point is that the Jets could have won those last two games and wound up 2-14, and the Giants could have lost them and wound up 1-15. So it's still undecided.
Yeah, but you still go winning percentage. You go winning percentage.
Yeah, but you can't just go winning.
If you've won zero games, your winning percentage is zero.
But there's also strength of schedule. So if those games
I understand what you're saying. We all understand what you're saying. I get it. I mean, there are going to be some teams, if you start canceling games and teams don't play a full 16, forget about who gets a draft pick. I mean, how your playoffs are going to be concerned and everything else. I mean, if the team's won zero games and the other team's won one game, the team with the zero wins is going to get the first overall.
Obviously.
Yes.
You imagine that the Jets went 0-14, though, and say the Falcons went 0-15, and the Falcons got the number one overall pick?
Yes.
That would be the Jetsiest thing to happen, though, wouldn't it? It would be.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
It really would be. It really would.
Yeah, it's just like Daniel Jones throwing that extra touchdown pass that was supposed to just carry all that momentum.
Yeah. Because that's turned out beautifully so far.
Into year two.
I told you, I mean, Don's take on that was so aggravating. That it's going to carry over, that all of a sudden this is going to be the burgeoning breakthrough for Daniel Jones.
Not at all.
Does it carry over? Nothing carries over in the
obviously.
NFL.
Obviously. I mean, how many people are Jets 6-2 to finish the season. That's going to carry right over.
But, I mean, I don't understand. It doesn't carry over in the NFL. Why do we even have that discussion?
I have no idea.
It's ridiculous.
Because it's something like people in the media like to bring up.
It is. Stupid.
It's fodder for the offseason. Chum that you can throw to fan bases. Let me ask you this question, Dave, because this is not something that we've talked about. I mean, everybody's talked about the possibility of if the Giants get the number one overall pick, would they go with Trevor Lawrence? I think that's an obvious answer. But if the Giants have the second or third overall pick, do you move off of Daniel Jones for Justin Fields or Trey Lance?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. I guess
it depends on what
is,
happens the rest of the season. But I mean, I think that if you're in that position, the rest of the season has gone terribly wrong.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
If you wind up with the second pick in the draft, Chris, you probably have gone 2-14. Is that right? Like horrendous.
I would agree with that, yeah.
So you go 2-14. I can't imagine Daniel Jones has given you a lot of bright spots, firstly. And secondly, does Joe Judge love Daniel Jones? We don't have the answer to that. So the honestly,
well, at least publicly, they're saying that they love him.
Okay, but what are they going to say? We don't love him?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, they absolutely have to. But I'm just saying, like,
I don't know. Is my answer. I do. Not, I have no idea. Hopefully, it doesn't
it would
come
be,
to
what
that.
Kind of season does Justin Fields have? First of all, what kind of season does Justin Fields have?
You got to imagine he's going to have a great year. No,
okay, he has a great year. But is he considered, you know, generational? Like Trevor Lawrence is considered generational. Like the best prospect since Andrew Luck. If that's the case, if he has such a great season, you have the second overall pick, and you've had, I mean, to have the second overall pick, you've had a terrible season, which means your quarterback wasn't very good, then you're probably going to take Justin Fields. But if Justin Fields has an okay season, he has a good season, but people don't consider him like this generational talent, then, I mean, I'm sure there's a team that would love to draft Justin Fields, and, I mean, what would you get
and
for the second overall
back.
Pick?
Right. If he's an elite talent and you really do love Daniel Jones, you'd think you could make a killing on trading back in the draft. You'd think.
You'd get a ransom, probably.
Yeah,
could you pass on the upside and the potential that a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance would bring to the table? That becomes the other question.
Like, well, that would depend on the scouting. I mean, Trey Lance played one game this season. That's it. He's done. He played one game.
He did play one game, yeah.
Okay, yeah, right. So, I mean, you have to love Trey Lance and what you've seen, I mean, in his past and what he does at the combine and everything else.
Sure.
I think the reason why the conversation around Trevor Lawrence has been so easy that if you have the first overall pick is
because you've seen the sample size, like 3 years, the kid came in as a true freshman and led the team to a national championship. He's only lost one game, and he smashed all of Deshaun Watson's high school records in Georgia. Yeah,
exactly.
I get exactly what you're saying, but Justin Fields threw for over 3,000 yards last year and had 41 passing touchdowns.
So did Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, God.
Ohio State.
Yeah, but Dwayne Haskins was a one-year starter, and Dwayne Haskins was a guy that was limited to mobility within the pocket. Justin Fields is where the NFL is going in terms of quarterbacks and athleticism.
No, listen, I'm not arguing with you about how good
Justin Fields is not limited to the type of offense to a certain type of offense.
No, which is correct. All I'm saying is I would wait to make until I see Justin Fields play this season. Mm-hmm. I can't give you a definitive answer as to what I would do with the second overall pick.
I think that's fair.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Decide now.
That's fair.
Because I think he's great. I'll admit I thought Dwayne Haskins was going to be great. I don't think he got put in a great situation. But I mean, let's not forget the reason why Joe Burrow left Ohio State is because he couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins. And how that turned out for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but I don't think coming into the season where Dwayne Haskins was going to be the starter for Ohio State, no one knew what to expect. Coming into this year, I mean, everybody knows what to expect from Justin Fields because we saw it last year. And if he just continues to show more of what he saw last year, then I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be the second quarterback off the board. That's just me.
I just want to see it. All I'm saying is if I see what you're saying, if he has that same kind of season, if not better, then that's a real conversation.
Well, I guess the whole point is it's a quarterback starved league, and quarterbacks always get pushed to the top of draft. So if you're the Giants and you're picking in the top five again, I think it becomes a serious conversation as to what you do.
Absolutely. It has to. Because if you're picking in the top five, and if you're going to get Fields, I don't even think top five. I think you got to be picking top two or three at worst.
Agree.
You've had a horrendous season, and odds are Daniel Jones has not progressed the way you thought he would. So I think you have to realistically have that conversation, 100%.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There's a lot of football left. There is. So we'll
how
see
embarrassing
how
is that,
out.
Though?
How much good football is left, though, Dave?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of good, but listen, the Giants could win four games, right? Like, that's not a crazy notion, is it?
No, it's not crazy, no.
Okay, so if they win four games, they're not going to get their hands on Justin Fields.
You would think not, yes.
So we'll see. Well, I mean, it's 11 games. Now, if you lose this game this weekend, all bets are off now. You're going to probably win one or two games, and it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, if you lose this game this weekend, I mean, the Jets, all of a sudden, the Jets fans become Giants fans because they're rooting for the Giants to win the game so they can make sure they get the number one pick. You're rooting for the Jets?
Oh, yeah.
No, we don't want you.
I'm all about the Jets now.
No, we don't want you. We don't need you.
Well clearly you don't need me.
We don't need any of those.
That might be the first time that happens in New York pro football history. Like Jets fans rooting for the Giants and Giants fans rooting for the Jets.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
That might be a first.
Touchdowns. He'll throw for four touchdowns against the Browns in December, and it'll be that's going to carry over till next year. How wonderful
that is!
Yeah,
the only fear is this though, Dave. The only fear is this: Dave Gettleman is still your GM. You get the second overall pick. Now you got to worry about Travis Etienne being the second overall. No, pick.
Really, man? We gonna go back to that? You're not gonna let that go? You're not gonna let that go?
Better chance of Gase or Gettleman being here next year?
Gettleman.
I don't know. I don't know. Dave.
I don't think there's any way Gettleman is.
I don't think there's any way Gettleman stays. I this whole Gase thing scares the hell out of me.
If he came back.
Something strange going on in Florham Park, man. Real strange. Adam Gase has Jedi mind tricked everybody. Like everybody. He's the Sith Lord of Florham Park.
You cannot stare into those eyes, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, man, there's something going on. It's like Prince. Don't look directly into his eyes.
Yeah, but at least the blouse is won, and then you get pancakes.
That's a fair point.
Serve me nothing. Oh, after talking to all the coaches, they felt like it's me calling the plays is best for the team. Oh, really?
Come on.
Really?
We'll just continue.
Rick, you know what that was, though, Rico. You know what that was. There were coaches in there like, man, I don't want no parts of putting my name on this offense.
Absolutely
no
not.
Parts of that. This is all you.
You know what, Dave? After consulting with Milo and Ella, we came to the decision that me going to the grocery store was probably the best option. Makes the most sense.
But you flying a drone is out of the question. Out of the question.
Yeah, he's up. The poor kid, too, yesterday. I look over. I'm like, what are you doing, Milo? He's like, oh, just looking at the drone stuck up in the tree. I'm like, do you have to just rub it in every single time we see that stupid drone?
Did he say that? I'm just looking at the drone stuck up in the tree.
Yeah, I think it's moved down a little bit. I was like, no, it's not. It's not moved down at all. We're not getting it. He's like, can we cut the tree down? I'm like, no.
We cut the tree down.
To get the drone, huh?
A loser I am.
You're going to replace the drone, aren't you?
Not now.
No?
He's 5 years old. What is he?
No, he looks up to that tree. He looks up in such angst.
I'm a 28-year-old man that can't fly a drone. A 5-year-old can fly a drone?
28-year-old man.
What?
Yeah, you're right. I'm a 28. I feel like
I'm about to say what?
What are you, Benjamin Button? What do you mean you're 28 years old?
Nah, CTE is acting up today, Dave. That's what it is.
I'm a 28-year-old. You thought you were going to slip that one past us? No. No. All right, let's bring him on. Mr. Positivity, Andy, in America. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. A beautiful Thursday. Throw you guys back onto campus. In fact, I'm taking you to a Coastal Division school of the ACC. That's right, we're going to Coral Gables, Florida for the U. Starting with, University of Miami's had two Heisman Trophy winners. Name them both.
Oof. Gino Toretta, was he one of them?
Testaverde.
Testaverde, wow.
Nice, David.
All right. The U has had one John Mackey Award winner, best tight end in college football. Name him.
So it could be Shockey. It could be Winslow. Olson. Although Andy wouldn't go Winslow. He's so. It's just
what about Greg Olson? Greg Olson went to Miami.
He did.
I figure Rick's going to be all over this one.
Rick. Be Chris Herndon.
That's not even funny. Why would you even?
That is funny. That's funny.
I'll be all over this. Is that because I should be? Am I leaning Winslow?
Yeah, Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, that Andy. If that's it, I'm going to be disappointed in you. Is it Winslow?
It is Winslow.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
He's a soldier.
Oh, that's why he said me. I mean, that's why he said no, but you're not. I mean, come
comment
on.
Here. All right. Over the last 40 years, the U has taken three coaches and moved them directly into the NFL. Name them.
Jimmy Johnson.
One.
Dennis Erickson.
Two. He would have replaced Bill Belichick.
Butch Davis.
There you go. Bang. And, of course, the great Howard Schnellenberger also went to the USFL for a brief period of time, but I digress. My fourth and final question. What NFL Super Bowl champion and University of Miami alum holds the school record with four fumble recoveries in a single game?
Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champion.
So you didn't say Hall of Famer, so it's not going to be Ray Lewis.
No.
How long ago? Andy, how long ago?
It's a while ago. It's going back probably 40 years. In fact, it was 1980 against Vanderbilt.
1980 against Vanderbilt.
I could give Dave 64 shots at this, but
Jim Burt.
He's going to get it right now. Bang.
Wow, Jim Burt.
I am the smartest man alive.
Mr. Hey, fellas, spin out of a double careful. Team.
Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you very much.
Jim Burt.
The great Jim Burt.
Wow.
He was
the
a
great Jim Burt.
Player.
I remember Jim Burt used to come to training camps, Dave.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, when I was with the Cowboys. Yeah, and Bill Parcells was out there.
Oh, yeah. He was a Parcells guy, huh?
Yeah. Jim Burt used to come out there all the time, man. And he used to try to teach us to spin out of double teams. And Casey Rogers would say, just ignore everything he just tried to teach you the last 10 minutes, because that's not what we do.
Who wants to spin out of a double team? Nobody.
And there we are.
Nobody.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.